They won, of course, but it was a grueling affair, with the battle room so filled with a labyrinth of stars that hunting down the enemy during mop-up took 45 minutes. It was Paul Slattery's Badger Army, and they refused to give up. There was a new wrinkle in the game, too. When they disabled or damaged an enemy, he thawed in about 5 minutes, the way it worked in practice. Only when the enemy was completely frozen did he stay out of action the whole time. But the gradual thawing did not work for Dragon Army. Crazy Tom was the one who realized what was happening when they started getting hit from behind by people they thought were safely out of the way. And at the end of the battle, Slattery shook Ender's hand and said, "I'm glad you won. If I ever beat you, Ender, I want to do it fair." "Use what they give you," Ender said. "If you've ever got an advantage over the enemy, use it." "Oh, I did," said Slattery. He grinned. "I'm only fair-minded before and after battles." The battle took so long that breakfast was over. Ender looked at his hot, sweating, tired soldiers waiting in the corridor and said, "Today you know everything. No practice. Get some rest. Have some fun. Pass a test." It was a measure of their weariness that they didn't even cheer or laugh or smile. Just walked into the barracks and stripped off their clothes. They would have practiced if he had asked them to, but they were reaching the end of their strength, and going without breakfast was one unfairness too many. Ender meant to shower right away, but he was also tired. He lay down on his bed in his flash suit, just for a moment, and woke up at the beginning of lunchtime. So much for his idea of studying more about the buggers this morning. Just time to clean up, go eat, and head for class. He peeled off his flash suit, which stank from his sweat. His body felt cold, his joints oddly weak. "Shouldn't have slept in the middle of the day. I'm beginning to slack off. I'm beginning to wear down. Can't let it get to me." So he jogged to the gym and forced himself to climb the rope 3 times before going to the bathroom to shower. It didn't occur to him that his absence in the commander's mess would be noticed, that showering during the noon hour when his own army would be wolfing down their first meal of the day, he would be completely, helplessly alone. Even when he heard them come into the bathroom, he paid no attention. He was letting the water pour over his head, over his body. The muffled sound of footsteps was hardly noticeable. Maybe lunch was over, he thought. He started to soap himself again. Maybe somebody finished practice late. And maybe not. He turned around. There were 7 of them, leaning back against the metal sinks or standing closer to the showers, watching him. Bonzo stood in front of them. Many were smiling, the condescending leer of the hunter for his cornered victim. Bonzo was not smiling, however. "Ho," Ender said. Nobody answered. So Ender turned off the shower, even though there was still soap on him, and reached for his towel. It wasn't there. One of the boys was holding it. It was Bernard. All it would take for the picture to be complete was for Stilson and Peter to be there, too. They needed Peter's smile. They needed Stilson's obvious stupidity. Ender recognized the towel as their opening point. Nothing would make him look weaker than to chase naked after the towel. That was what they wanted, to humiliate him, to break him down. He wasn't going to play. He refused to feel weak because he was wet and cold and unclothed. He stood strongly, facing them, his arms at his sides. He fastened his gaze on Bonzo. "Your move," Ender said. "This is no game," said Bernard. "We're tired of you, Ender. You graduate today. On ice." Ender did not look at Bernard. It was Bonzo who hungered for his death, even though he was silent. The others were along for the ride, daring themselves to see how far they might go. Bonzo knew how far he would go. "Bonzo," Ender said softly, "your father would be proud of you." Bonzo stiffened. "He would love to see you now, come to fight a naked boy in a shower smaller than you, and you brought 6 friends. He would say, 'Oh, what honor.'" "Nobody came to fight you," said Bernard. "We just came to talk you into playing fair with the games, maybe lose a couple now and then." The others laughed, but Bonzo didn't laugh, and neither did Ender. "Be proud, bonito, pretty boy. You can go home and tell your father, yes, I beat up Ender Wiggin, who was barely 10 years old, and I was 13. And I had only 6 of my friends to help me, and somehow we managed to defeat him, even though he was naked and wet and alone. Ender Wiggin is so dangerous and terrifying, it was all we could do not to bring 200.
Shut your mouth, Wiggin, said one of the boys.
We didn't come to hear the little bastard talk, said another.
You shut up, said Bonzo.
Shut up and stand out of the way. He began to take off his uniform. Naked and wet and alone, Ender, so we're even. I can't help that I'm bigger than you. You're such a genius, you figure out how to handle me. He turned to the others. Watch the door. Don't let anyone else in. The bathroom wasn't large, and plumbing fixtures protruded everywhere. It had been launched in one piece as a low-orbit satellite, packed full of the water reclamation equipment. It was designed to have no wasted space. It was obvious what their tactics would have to be. Throw the other boy against fixtures until one of them does enough damage that he stops. When Ender saw Bonzo's stance, his heart sank. Bonzo had also taken classes, and probably more recently than Ender. His reach was better, he was stronger, and he was full of hate. He would not be gentle. He will go for my head, thought Ender. He will try, above all, to damage my brain. And if this fight is long, he's bound to win. His strength can control me. If I'm to walk away from here, I have to win quickly and permanently. He could still feel again the sickening way that Stilson's bones had given way. But this time, it will be my body that breaks, unless I can break him first.